morning. I hope you're all doing well today. No fights with your wife on the way here. No fights with your husband. No fights with your kids. Right. I don't believe you. Okay. But I do hope you're all doing well today. We're going to jump right into the message this morning. So please turn in your Bibles to Luke 17, verse 1. And we will read verses 1 through 6. If you would like to put a title on today's message, it would be 7 times 7. Okay? 7 times 7. I'm going to begin like this, okay? There are three things that we all face, have faced, or are facing in our lives that will, without a doubt, bring us some trouble and confusion. And they are just simply these three things: offense, which can lead to unforgiveness, which is number two, which if not dealt with causes bitterness, all right? So it's offense, unforgiveness, and bitterness. All tools of the enemy that he would use to mess up and complicate your life, because that's what he likes to do, okay? He likes to bring fear, he likes to bring confusion, he likes you to get to the place in your life where you don't really know what you want, what's going on, and what's real and what's not, amen? If you don't believe me, okay, if you don't believe me that you're going to go through this, then just listen to what Jesus had to say to his disciples, all right? Luke 17, verse 1. I'm going to really shock you now. I'm going to be reading out of the King James today. I really feel bad that Trudy isn't here. She's out gallivanting somewhere out west. But if you happen to be watching, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, Luke 17 says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come." In other words, they will come. It's impossible that you can go through this life and not become offended. Amen? All right. "But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him the millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Verse 3 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostles said unto the Lord, after listening to this, okay, you're thinking this is just not possible. The apostles said unto the Lord, "You better increase our faith, okay? Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and thou be thou planted." I haven't read King James for a long time, I'm sorry. "And be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you," or it will obey you. The verse that I really want to look at today especially is the last verse that we just read, verse 6. But first, let's all stand together, please. And we will repeat our Bible declaration. Are you ready? Got a couple ready. That's better than none, all right? All right. Is there any more ready now? That's getting pretty good, man. All right. Hold your Bible up towards heaven and repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that what you can hear today can actually plant a seed in your heart and it'll bring forth a harvest? Yeah. Amen. See, that's what the Word of God does. It's amazing, really, okay? And so now that I've gotten you all to sit back down, I'll call Gary Timmer to come up and pray for the message, okay? Please and thank you. I don't ever want to forget that. I wouldn't want to offend you, Gary, especially not today. I should have got more sleep.
I was just thinking, what's 7 times 7? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can be here in your presence, God. I thank you that we can have fun in your presence, God. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is just going to get instilled in us today, Lord. Father, I thank you that you'll reveal new things to some of us, God. Father, and just cement things that we've learned before, God, or maybe a way we've never heard it. Father, I pray that we would be doers of your word today, God, and not hearers only. We thank you for Pastor Wes. God, I thank you that you are just going to speak through him today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you, Gary. Now, I have preached some of this before, but there's an awful lot that I've added to it. But allow me to read that verse to you again, verse 6, okay? And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You know, that's a verse that has been used mostly for faith, for people that are looking to have their faith increased or to prove that God answers prayer, that, you know, he has said it right there. But it's more than that, okay? And I want you to understand that today, and I hope you understand that today. And I pray to God that I give it to you as he has given it to me. Please notice that verse 6 was spoken right after the disciples had asked Jesus to increase their faith. And the reason why they wanted this faith increase was so they could get to the place in their lives where they could live this life of forgiveness that appeared to them to be absolutely impossible without having more faith. Jesus had just said in verses 3 and 4 that they were to forgive a person as much as 7 times 7 in a single day, okay? I mean, that must have sounded almost comical to them, okay? I mean, let alone impossible. And I know this just simply because if we were to be brutally honest this morning with ourselves, you know, it seems just as impossible to us. Come on, 7 times 7 in a day? I mean, what do you do to your kids, you know, when you correct them? You forgive them the first time. You might forgive them the second time. You know where they're going the third time, okay? Not that you shouldn't discipline your kids. 7 times 7. I can't imagine having to do that with somebody. I don't think I'd spend any time with that person after that day. But nonetheless, Jesus tells them that in order to live a lifestyle of forgiveness that's acceptable to God, we have to live this life of 7 times 7 forgiveness. And as I was looking at this passage, this question kind of popped up in my mind as I read it. Why did Jesus use a sycamine tree to teach his disciples about forgiveness? Why did he do that? Seems like there would be a lot of different, you know, examples that he could use. But why did he use a sycamine tree? Because contextually, this is what's going on, okay? Luke 17, 1 through 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples about things like offense and unforgiveness and bitterness and about how to resist these things, these attitudes, if you will, so they don't plant themselves in their lives. And as an illustration, Jesus likened these attitudes to the sycamine tree. Still didn't make sense to me. And you might notice that the Bible that you're reading says mulberry tree, okay, that's okay. Either way, sycamine tree, mulberry tree, they both come from the Greek word sukaminos, okay? And it refers to a tree that grew commonly throughout the Middle East. So let's look at that passage one more time, okay? And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, you might what?
Say.
You might what? You might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. It's going to obey you. Notice that Jesus said, you can say. You can say to the sycamine tree. The word this that is used here indicates that Jesus was pointing out something very, very specific. He was making a point. He was making a point with this sycamine tree. In Luke 17:3, he told the disciples that he needed, or that they needed, to forgive those who sinned against them. But then Jesus took it to this way extreme, you know, somewhere out in East Jesus, it seems like, in verse 4, by saying that even if a person wrongs you 7 times 7 in one day, and each time they're truly repentant, they were to keep forgiving that offending brother and sister, no matter really. This is just, 7 times 7 is just a number. This is a way to live, okay? You don't count the times. You don't go say, man, I hit 49, now I don't have to forgive them, okay? But I really think that this statement is hard medicine to swallow, especially since forgiving someone once a day is already a challenge for most people. It truly is. But to forgive somebody 7 times 7 in one day. And Jesus' statement caused them to say this: Lord, increase our faith. In other words, Lord, we don't know if we have enough faith to forgive so many times in one day. If this is what you really want, if this is what you really want of us, you'll have to increase our faith because we don't think we can do that. And at this point, Jesus began to teach his disciples about speaking to offense and unforgiveness and bitterness. I don't know if you remember our series on Psalm 91. It was called A Study in Psalm 91, all right, where we taught that we're to say to the Lord, instead of saying of the Lord, you are my refuge and strength, we're to say to the Lord. And the reason for that is our words carry authority, okay? They truly do. They shape what we do, who we are. They carry authority. Amen? This is kind of all over the place. I promise you it will come together, okay? Jesus said this one more time, okay? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, and I started to tell you this, but when Jesus used the word this sycamine tree, it was because it was the equivalent of Jesus telling them, these destructive attitudes, okay, are just like this sycamine tree. I mean, he's tying the two together, okay? And if you really want to be free from them, if you really want to be free from offense and unforgiveness and bitterness, you can speak to this menacing growth in your life and command it to be planted in the sea. Before we can understand what Jesus taught about getting rid of these attitudes, okay, we first need to see why he used the sycamine tree to illustrate this lesson. I mean, was there a reason why he didn't use an oak tree or an apple tree or a palm tree? I mean, it seems like that would work. Why did he use a sycamine tree to symbolize the dangerous effects of offense and unforgiveness and bitterness in a person's life? We as Christians, if we don't have to be a Christian very long before we realize that those three things are terrible things. But the question I have for you, then, why do we allow them to grow in our life? Why do we allow them to get fertilized? Why do we allow them to bring forth fruit in our life if we really know? This is why I use the sycamine tree. The sycamine tree had a very large and deep and complex root structure. In fact, it was known to have one of the deepest root structures of all the trees in the Middle East. Sycamine trees were strong, healthy trees that grew to the height of 30 feet or sometimes more than that. And because its roots went down so deeply into the ground, it was very difficult to uproot and kill. Hot weather and scorching temperatures had very little effect on this tree because it was able to tap into water sources that were deep down under the earth's surface. Even cutting this tree off at its base, okay, wouldn't guarantee it dying because its roots, again, that were hidden deep underground. Now remember what we're talking about here: offense, unforgiveness, and bitterness. The roots were hidden deep underground. This tree could draw from underground sources of water, enabling the tree to keep resurfacing again and again and again and again. You can cut it off flat with the earth, but it'd grow back, okay? In other words, the tree was just plain hard to get rid of. Like the sycamine tree, offense and unforgiveness and bitterness need to be dealt with all the way to and through the root system, okay? All the way. And that's what the ladies get to experience, okay, this Saturday. So don't miss this. I mean it. Unforgiveness, offense, and bitterness go down into a person's heart, okay? If we accept that in our lives, if we think that's a normal and we have decided to live with that, it's just going to grow. And they can be fed by any offense that has been buried deep down, okay? Any offense. And it can resurface in our lives over and over again. Are you with me? It takes a serious decision and a determination on our part to rip these roots out of our heart once they've been planted in, once they've planted themselves in us. The last thing that you want is for these roots to grow back again in the future. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed that someone who is easily offended, does anybody know someone who is easily offended in here? Okay. Have you ever noticed that somebody that's easily offended is easily offended a lot? A lot. Every time you turn around, can't say anything right, they're offended again. That's the way it is, okay? If the offense doesn't get dealt with completely, totally, get rid of, if you don't issue forgiveness, if you don't refuse bitterness, okay? If you don't, they can come back. And you will be a person that gets offended a lot. This is why the roots of the offense have to be completely pulled out. Completely. And then they will not resurface again and again. Another reason Jesus used this tree as an example is because the sycamine tree's wood was also the preferred wood for... Are you ready? You ready? For building caskets. Imagine, for building caskets. The tree grew quickly and in just about any environment, so it was accessible wherever you went. And it also grows best in dry conditions, the kind of conditions that the Middle East is famous for. Just like the sycamine tree grew very quickly, so does offense and unforgiveness and bitterness if you don't get a hold of it. In fact, it doesn't take too long at all for it to grow out of control and start affecting every single area of your life. And when these fast-growing, ugly attitudes are allowed to grow freely, they not only affect your own life, they can ruin the relationships that you have with other people. Remember Hebrews 12:15 says this, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this, how many? Many become defiled. This deadly combination that gets into our lives affects more than just you, more than just the person who's allowed those things in. It affects the people around you. And you know what? What's so unfortunate is it especially affects the ones that are closest to you. Amen. And just as a sycamine tree grows easily in every environment, however, it grew best where it was dry and water was sparse. Isn't this just like the three things that we're talking about? The negative attitudes absolutely flourish where spiritually dry conditions exist. In other words, you can almost count on finding offense and unforgiveness and bitterness growing and flourishing where there is no peace, come on, and no joy, and especially no fresh rain and water of the Spirit. And hear me what I'm saying there. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, He'll uproot those things out of your life. Amen? He will uproot those things out of your life. If you are not in an environment or you are not in a place personally where you can hear the Spirit, then The sycamine tree can grow deeper and deeper and taller and taller. And don't forget, okay, the sycamine wood was a preferred wood for building caskets and coffins. And this is a really powerful part of this. It tells us the offense and bitterness and unforgiveness, they're deadly weapons that the enemy wants to use against our lives. And harboring these things will spiritually bury you quicker than anything else. If you want to walk around with unforgiveness, suddenly you'll feel disconnected from God, and you will. Well, it hasn't happened to me. It will, okay? Because you can't disobey such an order from God, such a mandate of God to forgive and have things be okay. Pretty soon it starts adding up inside your soul. You haven't forgiven this person. You haven't forgiven that person. Next thing you know, you're not forgiving anybody, and you're entitled. All right, I'll quit being so tough, all right? These attitudes are the materials that the devil uses to build your demise and steal your joy. How many of you today would have to say, there has been times, and maybe even right now, when you've been living in the situation where your joy has been stolen? Amen? You know what it's like to have your joy stolen. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know what it's like to get your joy stolen, you will know what it's like to get your joy stolen, because it's going to happen. Let me stress this point to you because it's so important, okay? If you permit these three things to grow and flourish in your heart, and you do this by not dealing with them, okay? You don't have to, you know, try to give them the fertilizer that makes them grow. You can just not deal with them. That makes them grow. Please hear me now. It won't be long until these attitudes have killed your joy. Come on. Stolen your peace and put a stop to your spiritual growth. You see, I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach this. I preached parts of it before. But I couldn't get away from the fact that there may be somebody, or maybe somebody online, maybe me, that needs to understand that you can't get away with harboring that offense, that unforgiveness, and that bitterness. But on your side, you have to understand too, if you're offended, maybe you just have to get to the place where you aren't so easily offended. Because it's so frustrating to deal with a person that's so easily offended. Anything you say will eventually get into them. And they'll look at it, and they'll look at it in the worst way they can look at it. They become offended, and it just goes deeper from there. Okay, I'm almost done. Just relax. The sycamine tree also produced a fig that was very bitter to eat. The sycamine tree and the mulberry tree were very similar in appearance. The two trees even produced a fruit that kind of looked alike. However, the fruit of the sycamine tree was extremely bitter, extremely bitter. Its fruit looked just as luscious, if you will, and delicious as a mulberry fig. But when a person tasted a sycamine fig, they discovered the horrible bitterness that was the sycamine fig. Now listen to this, okay? Mulberry figs were delicious and they were expensive, okay? They were expensive. Because of the cost of this fruit, it was primarily eaten by wealthier people. But the sycamine tree, or the sycamine fig, was cheap, therefore affordable to poorer people. Because the poor couldn't afford the luscious mulberry fig, they munched on the sycamine fig as a substitute. However, the sycamine fig, because of its bitterness, couldn't be eaten in one setting. You just couldn't do it. In order to consume an entire sycamine fig, a person eating the fig had to nibble on it a little bit at a time, okay? Just a little bit at a time, because otherwise it would just be too much. But after a pause, the eater of the fig could return to nibble on it again. But they could never devour an entire piece of this fruit at one time. It was just too tart, just too sour, just too pungent to eat in one sitting. Jesus lets us know that, like the sycamine tree, the fruit of offense and unforgiveness and bitterness is bitter and is tart, okay? It's pungent. Like that fig, most people who are offended and who experience being offended and unforgiveness and they end up being filled with bitterness can chew on their feelings for a long time, just like the sycamine fig. You can't really, what you call, take it all in at once, but you can munch on it. You can revisit it and just touch it and help it to grow. They nibble on the offense for a little while, and you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been offended, there's something about offense. It's in your mind, and you go to sleep with it in your mind, and you wake up with it in your mind, and you play it in your mind over and over. You go and you take little bitty bites of it, you know, just what you can handle for that time, and you think about it, and you mull it over, and then you always go back. You think about it a little bit more. And after they have eaten, after they have reflected deeply on all of this, okay, with bitterness and unforgiveness, they return and begin again to take this one little bite, then another little bite, then another. And just as the primary consumers of the sycamine fruit were poor people, they were those who sit around and constantly meditate on every wrong that has ever been done to them and usually bound up with all kinds of poverty. What am I talking about? Money? No, I'm not. Their bitter attitude not only makes them spiritually poor, but they're also frequently defeated. They're often depressed and many times sick. I would just be bringing up what all of you know of the different studies that have been made on this or have done on this, that stress hurts you medically. Offense hurts you medically. Unforgiveness hurts you medically, physically. Are you getting any of this? I just want you to understand how important it is that we, you know, because when we mature, we have a tendency to let these things go. We think about them when we first get saved, when we read them, we get revelation out of them, and we take them and we apply them to our life. But then when we mature, we for some reason forget about them, and we find ourselves saying things that we swore we never would, doing things that we swore we never would, and taking these things and living with them instead of kicking them right out of your life. I remember the major part of my vocabulary, used to be, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I had so many rotten thoughts. I had, you know, against the word of God. In fact, it used to be, and I don't have to so much anymore, but when I would stand to worship God on a Sunday morning, I would stand and worship him, and if you ever watched me, you'd see me shaking my head because I'd be rebuking the thoughts that were coming into my head. What I'm only saying, and I've said this a million times, I think, is that some of us need to do some of the things that we did at the beginning, again, now that we're in the middle or the end of our walk with the Lord. Finally. If you think that's a closing word, you're wrong. No. The sycamine tree was pollinated only by wasps. Wasps. I watched a video this morning. Not that I wasn't busy praying and lifting everyone up to the Lord and praying for the service. But I watched this video today on honeybees and wasps, how they attacked a honeybee nest. They are vicious. I mean, eventually the honeybees get this revelation, I guess, that they can totally cover the wasp and kill it. But by then the wasp has already sent out a message to his other wasps where the honeybee hive is, and they all come and destroy the honeybee hive. Wasps are vicious. But it's very interesting to know that the tree was not naturally pollinated. The pollination process was only initiated when a wasp stuck its stinger right into the heart of the fruit. The fruit. Please understand that the tree and its fruit had to be stung in order to be reproduced. Think of how many times you've heard an offended person or a bitter person say, "I've been stung by that person once, you know, but I'm not going to be stung again." In other words, I'm going to keep this in my heart. I'm not going to forget it. I'm never going to open myself up again. What they did hurt me so badly that I'll never let them close enough to sting me again. You know, and those who make statements like this have been stung by situations that the devil had especially devised to pollinate their hearts and souls with offense, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And they've taken an oath. I will never. They have taken an oath to their own hurt. If you don't like this part, just cut it out, okay? How many times have you heard people say, "I can forgive that person, but I'll never forget what they did"? You better forget what they did, because you can't forget. You can't forgive if you can't forget. Do you hear me? It's not okay to remember. I'm not saying you have to go out and be friends with the person that hurt you, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to hold on to that offense and think that you've forgiven it, you haven't, because you're remembering it. And when you remember it, you feed it. And when you feed it, it grows. And it just becomes worse in your life. I can forgive you, but I can never forget what you've done. That's not okay. And you know what? You know, you won't find it in here. You won't. Jesus said that in order to get rid of these things and get them out of your life, you have to have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. The word grain is the Greek word kokos. It describes a seed or a grain or a very small kernel. The word mustard is the Greek word sinapi, which refers to the small mustard plant that grows from a tiny, minuscule seed. By using this word, Jesus is telling his disciples just simply this, that it doesn't take a great amount of faith, okay, to deal with these feelings. You don't have to be a spiritual biggie, okay? You don't have to be this perfect saint of God. There is no perfect saints, okay? Amen? Trudy might be close. I know she's going to watch this. And he's trying to explain to them that you don't have to wait to do this. You don't have to wait till your faith is large. A person who has even a tiny measure of faith can do what? Can speak to them. Say, can speak to them. And do what? Command them to leave. Command them to leave. If that's really the desire of his heart or your heart. Why does that work? I don't know. Except that our words carry the authority of Jesus. Amen. Amen? You know, why can't I just speak to, hey, this unforgiveness in my life, go, you know, and it'll go. Well, you probably have to go forgive somebody, but I don't know why that works, but it's in the Bible. I don't know why blood cleanses me, but it does, okay? I don't know why stripes on a being's back, on Jesus' back, would forgive me, but it does. I don't get that the breaking of his body brings healing to me, but it does. And I don't understand why I can just speak to something in my life and it will go, it will obey me. But I know it works because it's written in here. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the question for you today is just simply this, okay? What's your desire? Again, if you're sitting in the place where everything's cool, then great. But do you genuinely wish to be free from offense that leads to unforgiveness, that will bring bitterness? Are you ready to let go of those things that have festered in your heart or your soul for so long? Are you ready to rip those destructive roots completely out of your heart? Because that's the only way it'll happen. So that they won't be able to resurface again in your life? And are you tired? Are you just plain tired of these negative things stealing your joy and robbing your peace and hindering your spiritual life? Then, stand with me, please. Then I invite you to come to this altar today. And we are going to speak to those things and tell them to leave. Okay? As a group. Can you imagine all of us together telling those things to leave? The faith that will be there. Do you understand that? Many different things could have brought unforgiveness or offense or bitterness into your life. Many different things. Comments from your parents or your in-laws. I mean, maybe an old friend or a brother or sister in Christ said something. I think I have an opportunity every week to get offended if I want to let it offend me. Because somebody says something to me without thinking about what it really is saying. And I have to look at that person and think in my mind and say, God, I know that person didn't mean it the way it came out. Or I can choose to be offended and let it grow and hold back forgiveness and grow in bitterness. I want you to know, you don't want to hold on to it. You don't want to hold on to it. I mean, who knows? I mean, heaven forbid. Maybe it was a pastor that said something. But now you find yourself ready to speak to those things and tell them that they are not welcome anymore. I wrote a declaration for today, okay? Now, if you really want to be set free from one of these three things, all of these three things, then I really do. I invite you to the altar, and we will say this. We will speak. We will declare to those things that they aren't staying any longer. Amen? So the altar's open for those of you that want to come. So I want you to repeat this after me, okay? I declare. I genuinely want to be set free from offense and unforgiveness and bitterness. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority God has given me.
By the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority God has given me.
I speak to these detrimental attitudes that have been killing my joy, stealing my peace, and hindering my spiritual life.
Speak to these detrimental attitudes that have been killing my joy, stealing my spiritual
life. And I say to them, go!
Say to them, go.
You know, not a whole lot of things in this world will leave or go away if you go, I say to you, go. Say it like you mean it. If you really want to lay these things down, you know, if you really want to get this, then tell those things to go. Amen? Amen. All right. I say to them, go now.
Say to them, go now.
Unforgiveness. Offense.
And bitterness.
I say go now.
I say go now.
I declare by faith, I am walking free from these enemies of my soul. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody absolutely shouted, amen. And amen. Why don't we give him praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you can say, well, Pastor West, that was too easy. That can't be true. It says it in the Word of God. It's got to be true. Well, I ought to get just a shouting amen for that. It says it in the Word of God, so it's got to be true. Amen. Why do you think it has to be hard? It doesn't have to be hard. We've got somebody fighting our battles for us and equipping us for every battle that we encounter. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just give him some more praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.